a topic that I wouldn't say it's close to my heart, because it's you know, not necessarily got a lot to do with hearts and humans. This is artificial intelligence. On the line, we've got Toby Walsh. He's one of the world's leading researchers in artificial intelligence. And he's just written a book called It's Alive, Artificial Intelligence from the Logic Piano to Killer Robots. Who's going to be in town for WOMAD presenting a planet talk on Sunday the 11th of March. And he joins us on the line. Good morning, Toby.
Good morning, Casey.
So let's get straight to the point. Do you think we're facing a threat with the rise of artificial intelligence?
No, I mean, it's like all technologies. It can be used for good or for bad. And actually, we get to make a choice as to whether it's used for good or for bad. And there are plenty of good outcomes. There was a report in today's Australian Financial Review saying that there's going to be a $1.2 trillion bounty to Australia from automation written by Google. Equally, it can be used to make warfare more terrible and more terrifying. That's the killer robots in the title of my book.
Well, so that's one of the things that is the scary part, because I think one of the like drones now, they're developing like the capability to be able to pick their own targets. Is that right?
Yes. It's at the moment, there's still a human in the loop. There's still a soldier who's actually making the final decision to set off their Hellfire missile. They're sitting in a container back in Nevada, controlling the drone remotely. But it's a small technical challenge to remove that human completely and have a computer make all of those decisions. In fact, not only do I think that's technically possible today, but the UK's Ministry of Defence do, and they also have a technical demonstrator to prove it.
So that's worrying to me, the idea of having people so far removed from, you know, the killing that they're doing in war. I mean, as if war isn't terrible enough, but to not have any, you know, to take away any of that human element, it makes it almost like a video game, but with lives at stake.
It is. It's troubling on many levels. I think it really will be crossing a moral line. That we would be handing over decision, life or death decision, to machines for the first time. And that's probably a line we shouldn't cross. There are lots of times where we've actually taken that decision with technologies, with biological weapons, with chemical weapons, and even today now with nuclear weapons, we decided that they are a line that we perhaps shouldn't have crossed.
Now, one of the things that happens when we arm something is they end up developing power over us. You know, if you think about it, in Australia, the people with the weapons are the, you know, state police, the government kind of enforces to sort of, you know, keep the population relatively in check and to maintain peace. If we sort of arm an artificial intelligence of sorts, will we become like its citizens?
I'm not too worried about the sort of Terminator scenario where the robots actually, you know, decide to take over the planet themselves. But it's certainly the case that these are the sorts of technologies that will fall into the hands of the wrong sorts of people. They fall into the hands of terrorists and rogue states who have none of the qualms about using them on civilian populations, about using them for great evil. And that's something that we do have to worry about, that there will be an arms race. We've seen that, you know, China's very interested, for example, to develop them. And they won't perhaps apply the same standards as we do to our use of technology.
No, of course, that's one of the problems when everyone starts developing different weapons, that they all want to use them differently. Now we're talking about generally artificial intelligence. Well, not general artificial, but we're talking about artificial intelligence on sort of a bigger scale. It's not the kind of thing, though, like a singleton, like a one sort of entity that you know, thinks for itself of sorts. Is that the kind of thing that's likely to ever develop, do you think?
I think we will be machines that are as intelligent as us, as capable as us, to the breadth of activities that humans can. But we're still a long way away from that. We only build machines today that can do one task. They can do that one task perhaps at superhuman level. We can write a program that can play Go better than a human, chess better than a human, or read x-rays better than a human. But it's just that one task. And unlike humans, they're still very brittle. If you try and give them a new task, play a different game, then they'll break almost immediately. So we've still got a long way to go. But I don't think there's anything necessarily that special about the human brain that we can't perhaps eventually create it in silicon.
So what's the roadblock then? Why haven't we done it yet?
The roadblock is that we're trying to do what's taken millions of years of evolution. The brain is by far the most complex system we know of in the universe. There's nothing that approaches the billions of neurons, the trillions of connections. And so it's a great challenge. I have every respect. You know, I see my child growing up and learning a language and learning to write and speak, and I have immense respect for what the human brain can do. And we've only been working on AI for about 50 years, so it's going to perhaps take us another 50 or 100 years.
I'm speaking with Toby Walsh, one of the world's leading researchers in artificial intelligence. Now, Toby, we spoke briefly about some of the dangers, especially with automated warfare. What are the benefits of developing more machine learning, more artificial intelligence? How are we going to thrive as a species because of it?
I'm great that we can spend some time talking about the benefits, because I don't want people to think there's purely just downsides.
It's a bit early in the morning to tell people that the world's going to end.
It is. I don't think the world is going to end. We face immense challenges today in society, whether it be climate change, the ongoing global financial crisis, the refugee problem, growing inequality in our society. There's lots of things that are stressing the planet. But if we have machines that could actually take some of the sweat and actually make smarter decisions, then we have a hope to be able to tackle some of these really challenging problems. And I mentioned at the top of the report, you know, $1.2 trillion bounty that will return to Australia by having machines take some of that sweat. So there are immense benefits. It will improve our health. It will improve our wealth. It will improve, hopefully, make us happier and actually spend more time doing the things that we want to do and not doing work. I mean, I always like to remind people, work is the only truly obscene four-letter word.
Yeah, oh, yes, that's a good one. Now, here's something that I don't think gets spoken of a lot with AI. What do you think it means for art? Like, how do AIs currently, how do computers build art? And if we get them to build that sort of, if we get them to venture into that realm, are we going to be left without another aspect of our lives?
That's a great question. At the moment, computers aren't very creative, although we're starting to develop ideas about how to make computers a little more creative. One of my PhD students actually has a program called The Painting Fool that's exhibited at art galleries and is exhibited at the Tate even. They're not as good as human art, so they're not Picasso's yet, but perhaps we will work out what are the rules behind actually making art. But even if we do, I'm not sure that it will do anything that help us be better artists ourselves, because at the end of the day, I think we want art that speaks to the human experience made by humans and not made by robots.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Toby, you'll be speaking at WOMAD this year as part of the Planet Talks series. You also have a book out at the moment. What are the kind of things that you cover in both of those?
I look at things like what jobs might be at risk of automation and what jobs might be safe from automation. I make 10 predictions about what might happen by 2050 that might surprise some of your listeners. That we might live on after we die, in the sense that we'll have these digital avatars, digital selves that will sound like us, speak like us, know everything about us, and it's going to be quite difficult, I suspect, for our relatives to turn those off when we die and to have that very lifelike presence of us turned off for once.
Yeah, that's actually a really scary idea. I'm glad you brought that one up, because like you wouldn't. So if I did that sort of thing, I died, I'm still going to die. It's just that there's going to be this part of me that lives on in a virtual form, right? It's not as though immortality is at access to us in any sense, other than that your relatives will still be there in a ghostly shade, right?
Yes, we still don't know anything about what makes us special, about, for example, our consciousness, whether there is actually something uniquely biological in that, which is why actually AI is a really interesting science. It will actually help perhaps us understand us a little bit better. That, you know, from the moment you wake up to the moment you fall asleep at night, you're conscious, and that's actually probably the most important thing to you. That you're aware of yourself, you're aware of your surroundings. And we don't build machines yet that have any of that awareness. And we don't know what that's going to be, whether we will eventually build machines in silicon that have that sort of awareness, or whether that perhaps something that emerges out of greater complexity as we build more and more complex machines, or whether that's something uniquely to us. So AI will help us answer these sorts of questions and go to perhaps our uniqueness or perhaps our non-uniqueness.
Well, certainly an exciting time. Now, just quickly, you mentioned jobs that are potentially going to be taken over by automation. What do you think about breakfast radio hosts? Is that the kind of thing that I'm likely to have a computer sitting here instead of me doing?
Well, I'm afraid to say there already is a computer that can do radio hosting.
No.
I don't think they can do it quite as well as you. And even if they could, I think perhaps we actually, as I said, like with artists, we probably prefer to hear a human who you know, is tired in the morning and grumpy sometimes and happy the other times, than just a robot that's always the same and always good at the job.
Well, let's hope that's the case. Hey, Toby, thanks very much for joining me this morning. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Hey, talking to you, Casey.
Listening to Breakfast here on Radio Adelaide. That was Toby Walsh. He's one of the world's leading researchers in AI. He's going to be in town on Sunday the 11th of March doing a panel talk at WOMAD. It'll be interesting, that's for sure.